Surely it is good to be here. Not to build an altar to any but to Jesus Christ, the true Son of God. You know, so many times when I come here, I said, it's like coming home. This is home. So many of you I've known for ages. And it's nice to be here. Nice to be here to celebrate our one true faith, our faith in Jesus Christ, a God who has given us this great gift so that we all have not only the hope, but the assurance of eternal life. As his children, this is what he... You know, this is a somewhat of a tumultuous time that we've gone through. I mean, we celebrate, this is a season that we've been through. We've gone through the Good Friday, the pangs of what Christ suffered, what he had to suffer to pay the price for our redemption. We've gone through his resurrection, that hope eternal that's there. I mean, creation itself, this time of year, creation itself talks about the resurrection of life. Yet, in this time, how many have we seen pass on? We've seen Gavin Aho pass on. We've seen Gene Anderson. We've seen Nancy Somro and so many others. And even the Pope have passed on. But what does God say? That it is given to man one day to die, and then comes judgment. But you, brothers and sisters in Christ, you have this assurance that you have been judged here on earth. You've been found wanting and needing of Jesus Christ. You have come to him and said, I need you. Come into my heart. Be with me. How great is this? How great is this? And now I guess it's time to start, isn't it? Grace from the God of grace, peace from the Prince of peace, and the joy of the Holy Spirit be with each of you, dear children, this morning, and with God's children throughout the world. Amen. You know, one thing I want to say is that what John has written for us in 1515, where I think it's actually 1513. I got to turn back to it. But we'll be reading a text from John 20, 19. But here, John 15:15:15. Well, I should know this one. Yes. What I like to see is that hyvät ystävät, for any of those that understand Finnish, good friends, dear friends. Jesus himself, when he was talking to his followers, this is probably several weeks before Good Friday. He says in John 15, he says, ye are my friends. You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, that he has told me, I have made known unto you. Everything that God had told to his Son Jesus, he has informed us of. And what I look at is this. This is a couple weeks before his crucifixion. He's told his disciples and his followers many times, I'm going to Jerusalem and I will be lifted up. And they said, yeah. Let's go to Jerusalem. Some said with trepidation, let's go. But, you know, they're looking for you there. So having this understanding that he's just called us friends, I've told you everything that the Father's told me. Let's turn to chapter 20, verse 19. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst, saith unto them, peace be unto you. And when he had said so, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into the side, I will not believe. And 8 days after, again, his disciples were within, and Thomas was with them. And then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said unto them, peace be unto you. Then he said unto Thomas, reach hither thy finger, behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but be believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen, and yet have believed. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written, that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life eternal through his name. Amen. Father, sanctify us in thy truth. Thy word is everlasting truth. Amen. How is it that these disciples, having spent years with Jesus, having seen the miracles, having heard what he had to say, yet came and did not believe? Well, wait a minute. How are you and I? Well, maybe I shouldn't talk about you, because I know that you're all strong Christians. Your faith is sure and sure. How am I? How often is it that I have my doubts? That is this the Christ? Is this truth? Can I rely on him? Can I rely on this God, this Jesus, this proclamation that he made, that I am the door through which you must come to enter to the Father, to enter into the kingdom of God? For me, I must believe, because if this is not so, then what am I doing? Why am I doing this? Why am I living a good life, or trying to live a good life? Well, take comfort in this. Let's talk about our friend Peter. Peter, bold, telling the Lord, I will never deny you. I'll go to the death with you. And then when Jesus was taken, some came to him, a damsel came to him and said, I think you're one of them. I think you were with him. I think I saw you with him. Your speech gives you away. You're a Galilean. Peter, not once, but three times, denied ever even knowing him. And he actually, the last time, said it with a curse. If we continue on to this text, I mean, we find out where it goes to. John tells us that after the resurrection, this Peter, he had a response. He said, well, you know, I don't know about what's going on, if Jesus is risen or not, but for me, I'm going to go fishing. And for those that are hunters and fishermen, I guess you could probably understand that. Hey, I'm comfortable with this. I'm going fishing. And the other disciples said, well, come along. Peter was a ruler. He was a leader of these people. And they go a fish. And on the shore, well, they're out in the boat and not having any luck at all. On the shore, there's a fire burning. A man's there, calls out to him, hey boys, you having any luck? You catching any fish? No, the fish aren't biting tonight. Why don't you cast on? I might be. I've not looked at this now, so I'm going by memory. So he said, "Well, cast again. Cast again." And they haul in this huge rod of fish. The boat's about to sink because under the weight of this fish. And the voice on the shore saying, "Come on up and have a bite to eat." He's over there. Cooking fish. They haven't even brought it in yet. And this man's cooking fish. So Peter comes in. And upon the breaking of the bread and the fish, he recognizes that it's the Lord. This Peter who had denied even knowing him. It's the Lord, the risen Lord, serving him as he did at the Last Supper. Here's some food. Recognizes that it's Jesus. And then Jesus asks him the question, "Peter, son of Simon, do you love me? Do you love me? Lord, you know that I love you. Feed my fish, feed my sheep." Ask again, "Peter, son of Simon, do you love me?" Same response, "Will feed my lambs." Third time, Peter breaks down on this, "Simon, do you love me? Lord, you know all things. You know that I do." "Feed my sheep. Tend to my lambs." Friends, you can deny him. He'll forgive you. You can doubt him. He'll love you. Regardless of, you know, here we're talking believers. And it's a little easier. You don't say, well, you got to repent. But regardless of where you are in life, where you've been, what you've done, this Jesus loves you. God loves you. And he wants you to come unto him. Become his child. I think I like jumping around. You know, this is not really part of the text, but it's, to me, it's such a precious extension of going beyond the text. And then there's the other one that's found in Luke that talks on the road to Emmaus. That's always special to me. It's something that my dad did not read the Bible aloud, but my mother did. And this time of year, she liked to read that aloud. The two that are on their journey after the resurrection of Jesus, they've heard the story. They say story that Jesus is risen. The tomb is empty. But these two, forlorn, sad, decide that they're going to Emmaus. Walking along dejected, woe is me. Our world has fallen apart. We don't know what to do. A third joins them. Said, Hey, boys, what's going on? I mean, why are you so sad? What's happened in your life that you're so dejected? Are you a stranger in Jerusalem? Haven't you seen or at least heard about what has happened, what's happened these last days? A great prophet that we thought he was going to be the king. He was going to rule Jerusalem, rule Israel. Give us freedom from the Romans. He was taken, spitefully used, crucified. We have no hope anymore. We have no future anymore. And then we heard this unbelievable story. Some women went to the tomb where he had been buried, and they said, "He's not there, that he's risen. The angels told him that he's risen. He's living again." Then his response was, he said, "Boys, what are you're fools and you're slow of heart to believe. To believe what the prophets prophesy, and what you were told, that he would rise again on the third day. Jesus himself had told him earlier, he said, I'll be 3 days. Like Jonah was in the belly of the whale, so I will be in the belly of the earth, and I will rise." Do you think that Christ should not have suffered this and then entered into his glory? Don't you realize, they said, that if Christ hadn't done this, you would not have a hope. You would not have the assurance of eternal life. And then this third man began from Moses and all the prophets and said, "Hey, this is what the scripture said of this Christ, this Messiah." They were coming nigh unto the village in the story. And they asked him, they said, "Well, stay with us. But here again he took bread and meat, sat with them. Blessed the food, broke it, and gave them to eat. And in that instant, these two said, "It's the Lord. The Lord who is risen. It is he." And then this third man disappeared from their sight. And these tired, weary travelers, well on their way on this trip, turn around and go back to Jerusalem. Their sadness is gone. Their weariness is gone. But their joy is there. The Lord has risen and he reigns. Dear friends in faith, he's risen. He lives. He's given you. He's opened unto you the door to eternal life. And he's gone on before, and he's prepared a home for you. This is the Easter story, the culmination. And as for any of us that stand here, this is what we want to stand here and lift up. We want to lift up this Jesus Christ. It's not any doctrine. It is a article of faith. This Jesus Christ is lifted up. He who gave himself willingly to suffer and be cursed on the tree. The story for all ages. The story for today, for tomorrow. It's what even in Revelation says, I am Alpha and the Omega. I am the first and the last. He who was, who is, and will eternally be. He's waiting for you. You know, I mean, we talked about how there's been so much loss, sadness. I mean, Bob's was being helped health-wise. Unfortunately, I made a snide comment. I said, you know, God controls times. He controls our time. But, which is true, but we are also encouraged to take care of ourselves, not to do things that are detrimental to our bodies. We are the temple of God here on earth. Respect your bodies. Respect God. All that we do should be there to glorify God. And if our bodies are healthy, we can spend more time doing it. We can do it with more vigor. Don't we all like the story of Thomas? Thomas who comes and says, I'm glad you guys saw Jesus and you know that he's risen. But I'm not going to believe unless I can see him. I can prove him. I can put my finger into the nail prints. I can thrust my hand into the side of his side where it was pierced. I think many of us are like that. We want some tangible proof. And God is not, or Jesus is not saying, if this is what you need to believe, I don't need you. Because Thomas was there. Thomas was there, and Jesus just said to him, Thomas, come close. Come close. Come unto me. Put your finger into that nail print. Put your hand into my side. Know that I am real. You believe because you've tried me like this. Blessed are those that have not seen, yet believe. And for many of us, I think that's where it's at, is that we physically can't see this. We can't physically put our finger into the nail print. We can't put our hand into his riven side. But we're still encouraged to believe. To believe that this is what he went through for you and for me. This is what he's spent of himself so that the world would have an opportunity to believe. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. Then it goes on and says, yet many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of the disciples, but they're not written in this book. But what is written? These words that are written are written so that you can believe. That you and I can believe. To believe what? That Jesus is the Christ. That Jesus is the Son of God. And that believing in him, we can have eternal life. Eternal life through his name. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, we ask that these words could be an encouragement for the day that we are in, that we could go forth believing and proclaiming the love of God to all around us. And we ask that you'd bless us and keep us, that you would make his face shine upon us and be gracious unto us, that you would lift up your countenance upon us and give us everlasting peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost.